When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone and welcome to Slash Film Daily for July 26, 2018. On today's episode, we're going to discuss the latest film and TV news. This is Slash Film Editor-in-Chief Peter Serretta, and joining me on today's podcast is Slash Film Writers Y-Tran Bui.
Hey everyone.
And Chris Evangelista.
Hello.
So let's just jump into it, guys. We got a bunch of news here. Let's start off with Netflix basically licensing out a TV show to a cable channel, something I never thought we'd see. Chris, tell us about it.
So Netflix has inexplicably sold the syndication rights to their animated series BoJack Horseman to Comedy Central, which, as you just said, Peter, I never thought this would happen, since Netflix is, you know, sort of the antithesis to regular TV, or as the official press release calls it, linear TV, which is a phrase I've never heard of before, but it was said at least 500 times in this press release. So I guess that's what we're calling it now.
You know what that reminds me of is when Sirius Satellite Radio took off, all the press releases said terrestrial radio is what they called normal radio.
Terrestrial radio?
Yeah.
Are we aliens now?
Yeah. Anyways, go on. I'm sorry.
No, yeah. So there's a not a complicated reasoning behind this, but it boils down to money, basically.
Of course, the
reason this is happening is it's just going to end up getting, you know, the producers of the program more money, and you know that's fine. They deserve it because BoJack Horseman is a great series. I find this whole thing very strange because, you know, for one thing, it's going to be BoJack Horseman with commercials, which who wants that when you can have a commercial free? And for another thing, a lot of episodes of BoJack Horseman are, I guess, what you would call R-rated. So I'd imagine they'd have to water it down for Comedy Central. Although I guess they get away with a lot of stuff on South Park, so maybe it'll fly. But it's very weird. I can't imagine who's going to want to watch this on Comedy Central when they can watch it, you know, commercial free and, you know, binge worthy on Netflix. But I guess, you know, not everyone has Netflix. I guess some people really do still watch quote unquote linear TV, even though I don't. So maybe it will appeal to them.
Why are you so anti linear TV, Chris?
I don't know. My wife and I, we have the cheapest cable package. I think we have like 10 channels. We never watch any of them. We just watch Hulu, and that's just the way it's ended up. I don't know. Maybe I'm out of touch.
You know what? Like, Netflix does release their shows on like Blu-ray. Like, I think you can get Stranger Things on Blu-ray, House of Cards on Blu-ray. So maybe syndicating it on some of the shows on cable isn't that much of a, I mean, it is kind of like, you know, getting ancillary money, but I don't know. It is very strange. I do know that some TV shows, like House of Cards, are produced outside of, even though they're considered Netflix originals, they're produced by a company outside of Netflix and then basically sold to Netflix, which is why, like, a show like House of Cards, they still film it in a way that it could have commercial breaks, because I think there's some territories that it can air on TV. It's also filmed for that, like, what, 48-minute or whatever block, so that they could have commercials in an hour-long television airing. But, yeah, I don't know. This is strange. HG, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I don't really get it either, but I guess, yeah, the syndication money is good. And, I have nothing to add. I think it's a strange move, but I wonder if this will be the first of other, like, syndication deals that Netflix has with other linear TV companies.
Yeah, soon you'll be able to watch Stranger Things Season 1 on AMC, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. This does kind of signal one thing, I think, that, you know, some people had expected Netflix to eventually go the Hulu model, where they would offer either a cheaper or free service, limited service that would have commercials. And I would think if they're syndicating out their shows to like cable channels, that signals to that that's probably never happening, which is probably a good thing anyways, because who likes commercials? But let's move on to Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We talked about this yesterday briefly, and I think Ben and Chris were both under the assumption that this series was going to be kind of a reboot and not a remake. But some people were confused, and now we have some clarification. HD, tell us about it.
Yeah, so original reports kind of gave the impression that the new Buffy the Vampire Slayer series would be a remake and would cast Buffy Summers as a black actor. As a black character, as opposed to the one played by Sarah Michelle Gellar. So a new statement from the new showrunner, Monica Owusu-Breen, has sort of clarified that. She said, "There is only one Buffy, one Xander, one Willow, Giles, Cordelia, Oz, Tara, Kendra, Faith, Spike, Angel. They can't be replaced. Joss Whedon's brilliant and beautiful series can't be replicated. I wouldn't try to, but here we are 20 years later, and the world seems a lot scarier. So maybe it could be time to meet a new Slayer." So this gives the suggestion that the new Buffy series would actually be a sequel series and not a reboot or remake, as we've been kind of calling it interchangeably. And the black lead character in this show would be a wholly new character and not just be like a rehash of Buffy Summers, which I'm much more receptive to, because I know when I first heard the news, I thought that they were doing like a straight remake, and I was very upset about that because I thought that you could tell so many more new stories in set in this world with new characters and not try to just reuse like a iconic white character and reframe her as a black character. So I think this is a really great move if this is the case. Owusu-Breen is still pretty vague on details, and it could allow them also to sort of dive into the comic books that followed Buffy the Vampire Slayer's finale and kind of continues the story on and dives into all and also introduces all these other new Slayers and characters who also have similar powers to Buffy.
And it would also allow, as we mentioned yesterday, the possibility of having, you know, the characters like Allison Hannigan and Sarah Michelle Gellar maybe do guest appearances at some point. Could be fun.
I was talking to Jacob about this, and he said that it would be really interesting if Sarah Michelle Gellar were to return as Buffy in a sort of Giles type capacity as the mentor or watcher of the new Slayer, which would be really cool.
That would be cool. I feel like she was so over Buffy when that show was ending, but her career did not take off in ways I think she expected it to. So maybe she'd be willing to come back to TV to do something like that.
Yeah, I think she's gained a newfound appreciation for the character, and she's definitely much more like welcoming to fans who are always really appreciative of her character, like on the internet. So I think she'd be down to return if this were the case.
Okay, so they're trying to reboot every old TV show at this point. It seems like the latest that is being considered is a reboot of Frasier. Chris, what do we know?
So this isn't official yet. It's just basically Kelsey Grammer is sort of testing the waters. He's putting the idea out there along with CBS, and they're trying to see if anyone's going to go for it for a Frasier reboot. And the strangest thing about this reboot is, unlike other recent, you know, reboots and revivals, which have kept, you know, the same cast, mostly the same creative team, like, you know, Will and Grace and Roseanne and even Twin Peaks, the idea behind this is it's going to be pretty much a total reboot where the only character carrying over is Frasier, and he's going to be in a new city. And that seems very stupid to me, because what made Frasier work was that ensemble. And to is there going to be no Niles? Who would want to watch that? I can't picture anyone watching that, but that's the idea as of now.
Frasier was a character that was first introduced on Cheers, Am I correct?
Yes. Yeah. It was a Cheers spinoff, but you know, he took on his own, a life of his own on his own series.
Like, I would much rather, not that I'm a big fan of Cheers, even though I am from Boston, the setting of Cheers. I would much rather see a reboot of Cheers. I feel like a show set in a bar in modern day, in playing with, you know, some of the tropes that that original series did. Maybe not a, you know, sequel, a legacy equal series, but maybe a reboot would be interesting. Is that anything you'd want to see?
Actually, I hadn't thought of that until you just mentioned it, but that actually could be interesting. I mean, you know, at the same time, I'm also tired of everything being rebooted, but that actually sounds like a kind of interesting idea.
I really wonder how they would reboot Cheers, because it was so, if you look back on it, it does not, it is not politically correct in any way. Anyways, let's move on to a story that hit after we recorded yesterday, and that is that Ryan Reynolds is developing an R-rated Home Alone type movie called Stoned Alone. I mean, I just love that pun. HD, tell us about it.
So Ryan Reynolds is developing a Stoned Alone, which is a stoner comedy that kind of riffs off of the classic John Hughes film Home Alone. And he may or may not be starring in it. That's still unconfirmed. But it'll be directed by Augustine Frizzell, who recently helmed A24's Never Going Back, which got rave reviews from Slash Film and other publications. So this is a story that is based on an idea by Fox executive Matt Riley, who I can only assume was basically just like throwing out random puns at a pitch meeting, and centers around a 20-something weed-growing loser who misses the plane for his holiday ski trip. He makes the best of things by getting high, but then when the paranoia sets in, he believes he hears someone breaks into his house. And it turns out that they have. A few thieves have broken in, and he decides to take action and defend his castle.
This sounds amazing. No? Like, do you think, like, he's going to be stoned watching Home Alone and then, like, get the, like, idea that someone's breaking in? Like, or do you think, like, it won't be connected to Home Alone whatsoever?
I don't know. I mean, like, with the title, it's possible that that could be a sort of meta inclusion. And yeah, it's definitely, it sounds like a really dumb idea, but it could be fun, because Augustine Frizzell has just like made such a big impact with her film Never Going Back, which was also a stoner comedy as well. So yeah, it's possible they could just do like a sort of meta take on Home Alone and just have this guy who gets inspired by Home Alone and decides to, you know, engage in all of these elaborate pranks that maybe go horribly wrong because he doesn't actually know how to make like Rube Goldberg machines at all.
Chris, is this a movie that you'd at all be interested in?
No.
I kind of predicted that.
Absolutely not. When I saw this, I groaned inwardly and started digging my own grave.
Chris is going to be mad when this becomes the new Hangover franchise and it's like, you know, Stoned Alone 3 Lost in Philadelphia or something. Okay, let's move on. You talked in the past about the HBO series Deadwood potentially having a movie. It's been, you know, not just rumored, but talked about for years. It's one of those things that, like, we never thought was actually going to happen. But apparently it is officially happening. Chris, tell us about it.
There's a long and winding story about this. After HBO canceled Deadwood in 2006, creator David Milch said he hoped to wrap up any lingering stories with two movies. And those movies never happened. And for years, we just all pretty much assumed, well, they're not happening. And then sometime around 2016, word came that scripts were being written, HBO might be interested, and it might actually happen. And once again, the idea just kept kicking around, and nothing was really official. And pretty much for the last few years now, the cast have been saying, you know, there is a script, we want to do it, HBO wants to do it, we think we're going to do it. And most recently, they filed for a tax credit in California to shoot it, which seemed like the most full confirmation yet that it was going to happen. And the tax credit basically indicated they had to start shooting by fall of this year or they were going to lose that tax credit. And now HBO has finally given the official word. They've come out during the TCAs are going on right now. And so HBO took to the stage and said, yes, the Deadwood film is finally officially happening. So after all these years, it's going to come to pass.
Now, I'm not a fan of Deadwood. I only have seen a couple episodes. I'm not a big Western guy. I know people absolutely love this series. Chris, were you a big Deadwood fan?
Absolutely. This is actually probably my like second favorite HBO show after The Sopranos. I thought it was phenomenal. It's basically like a Shakespearean Western. I really loved it, and I'm very excited about this movie.
Do you think it holds up? Because it was made before that kind of transition into serialized, elevated television.
I mean, it holds up for me. I feel like someone coming to it now might be thrown off because it's very, like you said, it's kind of like Mad Men in that it's a self-contained show.
More episodic.
Every episode is like a short story. It's not like now where people craft their TV shows as 10-hour movies, which is a terrible idea. It's more episodic, it's more self-contained, and you know that might not appeal to everyone, but I wish more shows would go back to that model, because as this show proves, as The Sopranos proves, as Mad Men proves, it can result in some of the best TV you'll ever see.
See, I'm a big fan of serialized television, and that gives me some hesitation, but Deadwood is one of those gaps in my television viewing history that everybody says, like, you haven't, they are shocked when I say I haven't watched Deadwood. So one of these days I'm going to have to try to binge through it and discover it like everybody else has. Let's move on to Jindy Tartakovsky, who is the director of Hotel Transylvania. And he did the early Clone Wars short films, which looks so amazing. He's been kind of like in prison making these Hotel Transylvania films in my mind, because like I think this guy has been has so much more talent than an Adam Sandler animated franchise. But it turns out he is going to be helming an R-rated comedy for Sony. HD, tell us about it.
Yeah, he's a really talented animator who created Samurai Jack for Cartoon Network, actually, and I think that is a credit to what a creative person he is. And yeah, he's been helming the Hotel Transylvania movies for the past the first three films, and that kind of became sort of his blank check for Sony, because he's renewed his partnership with the studio and has signed on to direct two original feature films, one of which will be the studio's first major R-rated animated movie. So that R-rated movie is not Hotel Transylvania 4, by the way. So the two features are called Fixed, which is the R-rated comedy, and Black Knight, which is an adventure film. And they're, we don't really know much about those films other than the titles and the genres, but Tartakovsky and Sony both seem very excited to continue their renewed partnership, and will hopefully be maybe the start of Tartakovsky becoming more of a household name once we learn how to pronounce his name more easily.
Fixed is the R-rated one, you said, right?
Yes.
So I imagine that's about someone getting fixed, or a dog getting fixed, or a human getting fixed. No?
Yeah, that's a good leap to make, I think.
I don't know. It's good to see that he's going to, get some, all these, Hotel Transylvania checks have gotten him to a point where he can make some original content. And also, that the R-rated animated comedy is back on the rise. We had Sausage Party a couple years back. I think that was also released by Sony, even though it wasn't animated by Sony Pictures Animated Entertainment. I'm happy about that, because, obviously, adult cartoons are something that have been big on television for some time, and it's great that we're getting more of those on the big screen. But let's move on to our last and final story for today, and that is the cast of the Charlie's Angels reboot has been announced. Chris, you're really excited about this. Tell us about it.
Let me just preface this by saying I'm almost positive this movie will be bad, but I am excited for it because the cast has been announced, and it's Kristen Stewart, Naomi Scott, and Ella Balinska. I'm not familiar with Ella Balinska. She's a UK actress. She's appeared on Midsummer Murders, which I've never actually watched, but Naomi Scott was in the Power Rangers movie, and she's in the upcoming Aladdin remake. But what I'm most excited for here is Kristen Stewart, because I am a big K-Stew fan, and I didn't used to be. This is a somewhat new development. I was neutral on her. Yeah, it's not like a lifelong thing. I was sort of like neutral on her. I didn't hate her. I didn't love her. But then I saw Personal Shopper, and her performance in that is so incredible and layered and really unlike anything I had really seen recently in terms of acting. And it kind of blew me away. So that sort of converted me to the Church of K-Stew. And from there, I've just been very fascinated in her career. I think she's a very interesting actress, and it's very interesting that, you know, she's been mostly focusing on indie roles for the last few years, but this is like her first return to big budget stuff, I guess, since that Huntsman movie, the first one, and of course the Twilight series. So yeah. I'm very interested to see, you know, what Kristen Stewart in a big budget comedy will look like.
See, I've liked Kristen Stewart ever since she was in, there was a bunch of movies, including Into the Wild. All the, like, indie movies she's in, she's great. It's when she's in these big Hollywood productions that I just don't care. I don't know. I just don't think she's the right fit for those normally. And to me, I don't know. I actually like Mick G's original Charlie's Angels movie. It's written by John August, who is one of my favorite screenwriters. The opening scene that takes place all in one shot on a plane is incredible. I just love the energy of that team and the fun that movie was. And when I think of the word fun, I don't think of K-Stew. I don't know. Like, she's usually kind of like brooding and you know, I don't know. Like, actually, this entire cast, I don't normally picture. Like when they were casting the original Charlie's Angels movie, you're like, oh, I could see why these people fit. You know what they're trying to go with this. Maybe it's a totally different direction with this cast. And also, my other hesitation is director Elizabeth Banks, who I was a huge fan of Pitch Perfect 1, and she came in Pitch Perfect 2, and it was. It was bad. It was really bad. So I'm a little hesitant. HD, are you a little bit more optimistic for this?
I'm kind of on the same boat as you. But I do have a slightly more optimistic tone, because I think Kristen Stewart has evolved as an actress. And so Snow White and the Huntsman was so long ago, and she was very wooden in that. But she was actually quite good in American Ultra, which was a trash movie, but she was actually
I still haven't seen
fun.
That is that good?
It's okay.
it's not a great movie, but she is really good in it, and she kind of plays a somewhat action hero role in the film, so I wonder if that would be like a good sort of role to draw on to kind of see what she'll be like in the Charlie's Angels movie. And maybe she'll be like the foil to the other two, maybe peppier characters. We don't really know much about Naomi Scott and who's the other actress again? Ella Balinska? That much yet, but I could see Kristen Stewart being like sort of the more stoic one. Maybe how Lucy Liu was kind of the stoic one in the McGee Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, I was almost going to say that maybe they're doing a more serious take on Charlie's Angels, but I mean, with Elizabeth Banks as the director, I would think that it would be kind of a comedy of sorts, because that's her, you know, forte. But I don't know. One of our freelancers, Geek Girl Diva on Twitter, she tweeted, "I know we need more female-led movies, but I mean, can't someone think of another story besides Charlie's Angels? It's been done. I mean, unless Charlie is the woman, maybe Angela Bassett, and the angels are The Rock, Ryan Gosling, and I forget who else she suggested. If you're going to reboot it. And actually, I think her idea is fantastic. I'm trying to think of a good way of saying this. Like, you know, I love how The Rock was in Jumanji and playing against his type. And I think, like, if you could put him in, like, a movie like this, a gender-bent Charlie's Angels would be so good. But that's not what we're getting. Does anybody disagree with me and Geek Girl Diva on the male gender swapped Charlie's Angels? No one's with me on this one.
I don't have much of an opinion about it because I liked the McGee Charlie's Angels. I would be happy to see a new team of Charlie's Angels too. I don't know. Yeah, I think we have plenty like male led teams already. So I'm just kind of on the fence about that.
They even did a Charlie's Angels TV series a few years back. I think it got canceled after a few episodes. I watched the first episode and it was not good. But hopefully this is going to be a little bit better. But that brings us to the end of today's Slash Film Daily. HT, where can we find more of your work online?
You can find me every day at slashfilm.com and I'm on Twitter at htranbui.
Chris, where can we find your work?
I'm also at Slash Film and I'm on Twitter at cevangelista413.
You can find me at Slash Film on all social media. You can find all the stories we talked about today on slashfilm.com and linked in the show notes. This podcast, Slash Film Daily, is published every weekday on iTunes, Google Play, Overcast, Spotify, all the popular podcast apps, as well as slashfilm.com. Please feel free to send us your feedback, questions, comments, concerns to peter@slashfilm.com. And please go rate and review this podcast on iTunes. Tell your friends, spread the word, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.